AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a great weekend. Something that happened yesterday that I want to talk about today was a big rally on at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. It was called Rededicate 250, a National Jubilee of Prayer, Praise, and Thanksgiving, an all-day faith event. It started at 10:30 in the morning and went on till 6 o'clock in the evening. It was a time to focus on worship, scripture reading, testimonies, prayers, and preaching from various ones as we look forward as a nation to the 250th birthday, the semi-quincentennial birthday of the United States of America. And it marked the 250th anniversary of the 1776 Continental Congress and their call for national prayer and thanksgiving. So it didn't get publicized a whole lot, at least from my perspective. I had a church member talk to me about it yesterday and said, you know, that's going to be broadcast on various Christian programming, and so they'll show what is going on. It had some big name speakers in terms of Christian impact: Franklin Graham, Robert Jeffress, Jack Graham, Jonathan Falwell, Jensen Franklin, Gary Hamrick. And then as far as politicians go, Secretary of the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, Dr. Ben Carson. And it also showed Donald J. Trump, President Trump, reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. So it was covered by Reuters. This brought in thousands of people, and it was a day to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Reuters covered it. This is what they had to say.
A Trump administration-backed celebration of U.S. religious heritage drew thousands to Washington on Sunday, highlighting close ties between conservative Christian leaders and the president, while critics said it did not reflect America's full diversity of faith. The nine-hour event titled Rededicate...
It did not reflect America's full diversity of faith. So I got into a back and forth with AI, as I like to do, and said, okay, well, how diverse was America's faith at its founding? And AI had to admit, well, most of the founding fathers, all but about two or three, were outspoken Protestants. They believed in the deity of Christ. They were Orthodox. They believed in Orthodox Christianity. And so doesn't reflect our diversity of faith. It's a rededication service. We're going back to the roots of our foundings and the faith of our fathers, as the song says. And so it makes total sense that you wouldn't have diversity. They didn't have diversity. You know, AI was saying, well, you know, the founding fathers built a document that would allow for religious freedom. I said, did they build a document that they were thinking, oh, great, this will help false religions and Islam and cults? And he said, well, of course not. Obviously not. Did they want Sharia law to govern in America? Obviously not. They were setting up a country that was undergirded by scripture, by prayer, and by the truths of the Bible, and by the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Now, they said, as Thomas Jefferson in his letter so famously said, there needs to be a wall of separation between this church and the state, so that, and what he meant by that, everybody that's honest knows what he meant by that, the state doesn't tell the church how they are to worship. It was a one-way situation. It's not that the church doesn't have influence in the state. It's that the state doesn't have influence in the church. What are we seeing today? We're seeing the reverse of that. We're seeing people say, oh, there's a wall of separation between the church and the state. The church needs to stay in the walls of their building and not come out into the public square and not, you know, go out into government. And that's not anything of what Thomas Jefferson meant by that statement. He's saying the state doesn't push its ways on the church as they saw in England, and not the reverse. The church has to make a difference in the state. It has to make a difference in the culture, in the public square. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You can't hide your light under a bushel basket. You put it on the lampstand and it lights up the whole house. So this idea, Reuters is all of a sudden saying, well, you know, nobody from the left was there. No Democrat was there. What does that tell you? It's pretty obvious to me that they're not going to be associated with anything that has to do with biblical Christianity. So this is how the story continues to unfold.
250, National Jubilee of Prayer, Praise and Thanksgiving. Blended worship music, prayer, and political messaging tied to the country's 250th anniversary. President Donald Trump did not attend, but appeared in a weeks-old recorded video reciting a Bible verse, originally released for the America Reads the Bible event.
From our religious inheritance comes many of the virtues and institutions we most cherish as a people.
Messages from top officials, including Vice President J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio, focused on what they described as the nation's Judeo-Christian foundations.
But the soul of our nation has always been rooted in an ancient faith.
House Speaker Mike Johnson led prayer.
Today, hear, Lord, in this 250th year of American independence, we hereby rededicate the United States of America as one nation under God.
But no prominent Democrats joined the program. Supporters described the event as a moment of faith and unity.
It was important, you know, to be here historic event like this.
I just believe that this is a nation founded on God and godly principles.
But critics argued the event blurred the line between church and state. According to the Pew Research Center, more than a quarter of American adults identify as religiously unaffiliated. The event is one of 16 planned to mark America's 250th anniversary and the first this year.
So 25% identify as having no faith. This is a rededication to the founders and to the founding fathers, to the founding of America. Those guys all had faith. They all, even the people that they like to quote, well, Benjamin Franklin wasn't a believer. No, he wasn't, but he was the one that stood up and said, hey, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Guys, we need to pray. So here is a deist, an from all indications, a person who never put his faith and trust in Jesus, that understood if we don't pray, this is never going to work. Oh, that is mind-blowing that you would have an unbeliever that is saying we need to pray. Thomas Jefferson, those guys, they're all, you know, big deists, and Jefferson had his own Bible that he was cutting things out of. People love to focus in on those guys. They don't talk about the other guys. Over 90% of the founding fathers were outspoken in their faith. They were orthodox in their faith, and they were praying, and they were steeped in Scripture, and the foundations of America are steeped in Scripture. And David Barton and William J. Federer and others have pointed this out in the source materials. So this idea that, well, this doesn't represent America. Well, it's a rededication of America to go back to its roots, to go back to its foundings. Psalm 85 says this, O Lord, you showed favor to your land. You restored the captivity of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. Selah, which means pause. Think about that, that God would forgive us, that he would cover all our sins. You withdrew all your fury. You turned away from your burning anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? That's a question. Show us your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. If you want to know what God is all about, he's about loving kindness and truth, righteousness and peace. The kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Goes on to say, truth springs from the earth and righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before him and will make his footsteps into a way. Great Psalm, Psalm 85. My Bible says, has the heading, revive us again. Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? That was what Rededicate 250 was about. It was about praying that God would bring revival. Now, I love Marco Rubio is Catholic. And, you know, I grew up Catholic. I understand Catholicism pretty well because that's what I came from. And I love Marco. I think he has been just a tremendous Secretary of State. He has done such a tremendous job. And this is what he had to say as part of his address yesterday.
It is no coincidence that America, from the very beginning, has occupied a unique and exceptional place in world history. Before the Christian West, most societies and civilizations, for that matter, thought in stagnant cycles. The flooding of the Nile, the return of the rains, the cycle of the harvest. History, for them, was a wheel to nowhere. It turned and turned only to end up back where it began. But our faith calls us outwards into the limitless darkness of the unknown.
I think he meant limitless.
It tells us to go forth and preach the gospel to the world as a witness and to all nations unto the ends of the earth. From that command came America. Our nation, more than any other in history, was shaped by this Christian idea.
And that's so true. And so what's going on in America today? Well, we don't have people are not melting anymore. It's not the melting pot. They're coming in as the Islamists. They're coming in to take over. They tell you that. Death to America in Dearborn, Michigan. They want Sharia law in every city in America. Well, that's not what the founding fathers had envisioned for America. America is built on Judeo-Christian principles, and it's not built on the principles of the Quran. And even Bill Clinton, he got this. He got the fact that Islam is not interested in coexisting. They're interested in taking over. This was Bill Clinton talking about the Palestinians and how they offered them land in Israel, and this was their attitude toward it.
The only time Yasser Arafat didn't tell me the truth was when he promised me he was going to accept the peace deal, which would have given the Palestinians a state on 96% of the West Bank and 4% of Israel, and they got to choose where the 4% of Israel was. All this was offered, and they said no. And I think part of it is that Hamas did not care about a homeland for the Palestinians. They wanted to kill Israelis and make Israel uninhabitable. Well, I got news for them. They were there first. Before there was, their faith existed.
They wanted to kill Israelis. Islam wants to take over, and we need to be aware of that fact. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about Rededicate 250. We'll come back with more. Don't go away.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Wanted to give a note of condolence to Betty Robison. James Robison went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And James came to First Baptist Texarkana a number of years ago and preached here. And he had connections to Texarkana because Mr. Wadley, who was a big part of the First Baptist Texarkana and a very wealthy man and very good man, we have Wadley Hospital because of Mr. Wadley. He paid, I think James told me, Mr. Wadley paid for his college education. So he liked Texarkana because of that. He came and he preached. So we had a big service. That night he preached, and then because of that, he invited Debbie and me to Colorado to spend a couple of days with him and his wife, and so we did that. It was a lot of fun, and we got to just hang out with him. Well, he went home to be with the Lord yesterday. His wife Betty was such and is such a sweet and wonderful lady. So we just express our condolences to her and to the family. In the loss of that great patriarch, and what a powerful preacher James was, and he's not a perfect guy who is, but he loved the Lord and he was gifted to preach, and so we praise the Lord for his life, for his ministry, and for the legacy that he has left behind. Well, we've been talking about Rededicate 250, a National Jubilee of Prayer, Praise, and Thanksgiving, an all-day faith event that took place yesterday on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. And as you can imagine, people didn't like it. Those on the left didn't like it. Critics, including Democratic lawmakers like Representative Jared Huffman, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, Freedom from Religion Foundation, and some interfaith progressive Christian voices raised these concerns. Ah, church and state. They argue the heavy White House involvement and taxpayer-funded via Freedom 250, which is a public-private nonprofit, and official participation by the Trump administration's blur the line between government and religion. Oh, they're so concerned about that. They see it as government endorsement of a specific form of Christianity. Do you think the founding fathers, any of the founding fathers, would have had trouble with having a gathering to pray to God, to pray in Jesus' name, to call on the Lord, to worship and to read scripture and to share testimonies? Would any of those guys have had a problem with that? You know, it just blows my mind when you have these people that are just, that's unconstitutional. It's like, well, the framers of the Constitution, the founding fathers, the guys that put it together, they wouldn't have a problem with it. And if they don't have a problem with it, the authors and framers of the Constitution, how in the world do you come to the party 250 years later and say, this is unconstitutional, these guys would never have stood for this? Well, just look at their own lives. Look at what they did. Look at the Continental Congress. Look at the fact that they had preachers coming in and they had prayer before every session. It's just crazy. It makes absolutely no logical sense. Okay, here's another thing that they said. Lack of diversity. The speaker lineup was overwhelmingly conservative, evangelical Christian. Oh, gee. Critics say it didn't reflect America's full religious pluralism, where you have Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and atheists, or the non-religious population. Yeah, we didn't have that 250 years ago. That's not, none of the founders were Muslim, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists. None of them. You had some deists in there, Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. And I think James Madison is another name they like to throw in there. The rest of those guys, like I said, over 90% Orthodox Christians and very dedicated Christians. They're willing to put their lives on the line. So a lack of diversity, we don't like that. Christian nationalism framing. Opponents called it an attempt to promote the idea that America should be a Christian nation. The idea of that in a governmental sense, which they view as rewriting history and exclusionary. Some staged protests, including a golden calf balloon symbolizing idolatry. Christian nationalism. That's used as a pejorative. The nation was founded on Christian principles. The nation was founded overwhelmingly and framed the Constitution of the United States, framed overwhelmingly, over 90%, easily over 90% Christians. So, yeah, that's how it was founded. No prominent Democrat participated. What does that tell you? Hey, we're having this Christian event. Oh, I don't want to come to that because I don't like Christianity. I'll go to your Islam event. I'll go to your Muslim event because, man, I just want to show to the world I'm not Islamophobic. But no, I'm not going to go to anything Christian. It's just sickening. Well, I saw a clip. This was from Chris Tomlin. And Chris Tomlin, he was leading in worship. And such a special moment. What he had yesterday. Let me play this for you.
And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
How great is our God. What a special, special time to worship the Lord. I asked Grok how many signers of the Declaration of Independence would have said that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God and he was not crucified and raised from the dead. And Grok said this, likely 2 to 3 out of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence would have rejected or expressed significant doubts about the Orthodox Christian doctrine. That means 2 to 3 out of 56. So you have 53 to 54 signers of the Declaration of Independence who would have said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. That's not a lot of diversity of faith. And so if we want to rededicate ourselves to the foundings of America, we go back to the scripture. We go back to the fact that the nation was founded by men who loved the Lord and who believed in the Lord and recognized, even as Benjamin Franklin did, unless the Lord builds the house, Psalm 127, verse 1. They labor in vain who build it. Now, if we don't return to the foundations of America, America won't last. The Lord says in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, return to me and I will return to you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, almost the last verse of the Bible, you know, Revelation goes to verse 21. Revelation 22, 21 is the last verse of the Bible. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. So this is right at the end, Revelation 22, verse 17. What do we read? We read an invitation. The Spirit and the bride of Christ, the church. What do we say? We say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. The Lord is always saying, come to me, come to me, come to me. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, when the Lord, Isaiah chapter 1, when the Lord is decrying Israel's just going through the motions type of worship, he says, bring me your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. Why? Why would God say that about these feasts that he created? Because they're not coming with all their heart. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, Jesus said, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. So he said, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. And then this is what he says in verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you'll eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That is so true for us today. Hey, if we'll come to the Lord in repentance, like the prodigal son came home to his father in repentance. He came to his senses and said, why am I wanting to eat this pig slop? My father's hired men. They don't eat pig slop. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and leave the pigsty. And I'm going to go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and left the pigsty and went home to his father. That is a picture of repentance. You turn around from the direction you're going. You change your mind, what you think about sin, what you think about self, what you think about the Savior. It's a total turn. It's a total change. And you come to the Lord in repentance and faith. The Apostle Paul said that's what he preached, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of two things, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And repentance and faith, just they come together. That's saving faith. Sometimes the Bible just refers to it as repentance. Sometimes it just refers to it as belief, but they're Siamese twins. They're together. True saving faith always has repentance, and true repentance always has saving faith. That's why the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God is not wishing, he's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so those things are used as synonyms. They're used interchangeably. Well, we need to repent and we need to return to the Lord. Come now, the Lord says, and reason together. It's a reasonable thing to come to the Lord. It makes absolutely no sense to reject God, to reject the God who created you, the God who loves you, the God who wants what's best for you, the God who sent his son to die on the cross for your sins and to rise again from the dead, and you reject him. That makes absolutely no sense at all. Come now and let us reason together. It's a reasonable thing to receive Christ, to repent and believe. And though your sins are as scarlet, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how sinful you are. Though your sins are as scarlet, the Lord can make them white as snow, because there is no sin that the blood of Jesus can't wash white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. And listen, the vilest, we sing that song, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. I like what Iris Blue, the prostitute in Houston, said when she received Christ. She said, I knelt down on my knees, a tramp, and I arose a lady, because the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleansed her from all sins. Well, hey, that's the message that we get to share. And that's the life that we get to live. You know, the life of a Christian is constantly repenting and confessing our faith in Christ. Not getting saved over and over again, but you live a life of when the Lord convicts you, you confess that sin to him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, 1 John 1, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, us with God, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. And when we come back from the break, we will open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. So pick up the phone, give me a call, and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And as you heard, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org, pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. If you have a question or comment and you're unable to call in, but something is on your heart, you want to share it, or you want to ask me about it, feel free to do that, and we will get back with you as we get those emails. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We've been talking about Rededicate 250, a National Jubilee of Prayer, Praise, and Thanksgiving that took place yesterday on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. It drew thousands, had speakers like Franklin Graham, Robert Jeffress, Jack Graham, Jonathan Falwell, Jensen Franklin, Gary Hamrick, and Mike Johnson, Pete Hegseth, Marco Rubio, Ben Carson, and Chris Tomlin was there along with others. It was a great time to call upon the Lord and to celebrate America and to recognize that we desperately need to return to God. Return to me, Malachi chapter 3, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Well, we're going to the phone lines to hear from you, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We have our friend Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say, I don't know if you've heard of this, if it's a movement or something like that, but I heard two pastors on a podcast say this. One was J.B. Hickson, and I don't remember, I don't listen to his podcast, but he was on another podcast that's really very true as far as I'm concerned. But when I heard him say this, I was like, what? He said that when you are saved, that if you have the command to repent, that repent is not that in the Greek or something like that. It means something different. I heard another pastor say the same thing. He's on AFR. I can't remember his name. He's on at 11:30. Monday through Friday. Anyway, so I wanted to know what you think of that. And I'm kind of doing them a disservice in not saying what they say that word means instead of repent. They're saying it means something different in the Greek or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The word for repent in the Greek is metanoia, and it means to change your mind. So that's why I was saying when you repent, you change your mind concerning sin, concerning self, concerning this Savior. Change your mind about sin. All of a sudden, well, I didn't think this was a big deal, and now I'm convicted about it. Wait a minute, this is sin. This is terrible. I not only what I think of sin, but what I think of myself. I'm not good enough to get to heaven. That's Ray Comfort, the way of the master. He just uses the Ten Commandments to show people, here's the commandment of God. Here's the standard of God. What you're doing is not meeting the standard. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, nobody is perfect. So once we see that, the light comes on, so to speak, and that you see the Savior, that's why he came. You know, the law has become our tutor, Galatians 3 says, to lead us to Christ. The law shows us, it's a thermometer, it shows us how sick we are. You can't save anybody. Thermometer is not going to save you when you are deathly ill. It just shows you how sick you are. That's the law. It's a boat anchor. You're drowning in the sea and you try and cling to the law. Well, it's going to take you down. You need a Savior. And so then you change your mind what you think of the Savior. Jesus came for me. And when you understand those things, then you cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so this idea, Lynn, that repentance is a work. Repentance is a response to conviction from the Holy Spirit. It takes place in a moment in time. You know, we see in Nineveh in Jonah chapter 3 that when Jonah preached, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The people responded to that. They put on sackcloth, they put on ashes, they called upon the Lord. That was the outward expression of their repentance. And God responded to them because he says in Ezekiel chapter 18, do I have any pleasure in the death of anyone who dies? Obviously, no. Therefore, repent and live. That's what the Lord says. So when we repent, when we turn around, so to speak, in our minds and put our faith and trust in Jesus, then we live. So does that help you?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to ask you if you'd heard of that.
Yes.
And I know how you have that saying, when it's new, it's not true.
Right.
You know? And yeah. I thought, is this a movement that's catching on or something?
It's been around for a while. It might be gaining some traction, but, people people like to say, oh, you don't need to repent. Repentance is a work. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Repentance is obviously what the Apostle Paul preached, solemnly testifying, this is Acts chapter 20, to both Jews and Greeks, of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get saved without repentance. Unless you repent, Luke 13:3 and 13:5, Jesus says it twice, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So if you say repentance is a work, and Jesus says you have to do that to be saved, then you would say, well, I'm saved by works. And we know that it's not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. So I think that would knock out repentance as being a work from a biblical perspective.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. God bless you. We have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't get to me, but that being said, and I'm talking to myself when I'm going to say this.
Okay.
But what I see the naysayers, I'm seeing a failure of the church to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ and his love for them. Mm-hmm. I see us not doing what God commissioned us to do, as to be salt and light. I'm the kind of guy that I get all filled up, but I keep my lamp under the shade so no one else enjoys the light. Mm. And I find myself failing to do that, and I think there's a failure in the church to step out and start sharing with these people, because God changed so many hearts in the Old and New Testament, and he still wants to do that, and he'll use us as instruments to make that change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that's a good word, David. I think all of us need to make sure we're not hiding our light under a basket. And we put it on the lampstand, Jesus said, so it lights up the whole house. And I like what one pastor said. He said, you know, when you start living out your Christianity, it starts at home. And light up your own household and make a difference at home. I was listening to a sermon just yesterday, and it said this: if Christianity doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. And that's why it's so critical for husbands to love their wives, and for wives to submit to their husbands and respect their husbands. And one of your greatest testimonies is your marriage and your family. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you can do everything right and your kids can go off the rails. Samuel was a godly, godly man, and his sons were not. And so that's so disheartening. But listen, our marriage, our family is a testimony. And so Christianity starts at home. And then from there, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We need to not be ashamed of Jesus. We need to stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross and be willing to suffer hardship for doing that. Because the world is not going to pat us on the back if we really start to shine. The world will try and put out the light, as they did with Charlie Kirk. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. He told his brothers in John chapter 7, verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. And so when we talk about doing that, and you put the salt on the wound, that burns. And people don't want that. You shine the light on the darkness, and people don't like that. They get mad at that. Jesus said men hate the light. They love the darkness. And so when you turn on the light, they scatter and flee. And they will, as they did it with Jesus, we have to kill this guy. And when did they come to that conclusion? When he raised Lazarus from the dead. Something that everyone should have celebrated. They came to the conclusion, if he goes on like this, everyone will follow after him, and we can't have that because we'll lose our place. We have to kill him. And then they went a step further and said, and along with him, Lazarus, because he's the testimony. And that's how they responded to the greatest miracle outside of his own resurrection, the greatest miracle Jesus ever did, John chapter 11, raising four-day-old dead Lazarus from the grave. They responded by saying, this man must die, and Lazarus too. You see how upside down they were. Well, I appreciate it, David. That's a good word. We have Latora from Michigan. Latora, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
As I was listening to you, I speak fast, so I'm sorry. When I get excited, I speak fast. I'm going to try to slow down.
Okay.
When I was listening to you, you know, speaking about the opposition against the rededication to the nation as far as Democrats, what came to my spirit was Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And it's so easy for us to want to look at the people, you know, keep our eyes on the people, but this is a spiritual battle that we're in.
Yes.
And this thing is not going to be complete until Christ comes back. So I just want to encourage, you know, the people of God to really understand that this is a spiritual battle that we are in, not only for our lives, our family souls, you know, the souls of the nation, of the world, and to just really tap in and understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you know. So
yeah,
that was it.
Yeah. Hey, I love it. That's a great point. So you always have to remember this. So the devil uses people, but people are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. His demonic ideologies are the enemy. I've said this before. Muslims are not our enemy. Islam is an enemy. Islam is satanic. But Muslims are caught up in this satanic ideology and theology, and so they're people to be won. They're the mission field, and people that have these terrible ideas, they're the mission field. Those who have been given over to a reprobate mind, as it says in Romans 1, they're the mission field. Those who are so confused, and they're biological males thinking they're females, or they're biological females thinking they're males. They're not the enemy. They're the casualty from the enemy. They have believed lies from the father of lies, and we want to pray for them. We want to speak the truth in love to them, because 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And so we speak the truth in love to that person, because without it, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can't be set free until you embrace the truth. And it's incumbent upon us. Jesus is full of grace and truth. It's incumbent upon us to share the truth. We speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. So great word, Latora. Thank you so much for calling in. And we have John on the line from Arkansas. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you, John?
Hey, good. I'm losing the battle. Allegra is losing the battle to my allergies, but other than that, I'm doing good. I want to first thank you for your ministry. I'm pretty sure the people at my church are tired of hearing me say I heard Pastor Jeff say this last week. And so I appreciate your show. Lisa and I watch every day.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you highlighting the rededication from yesterday. I don't know if you were watching when Tim Scott came out and he just, as loud as he could, "Who loves Jesus?" I mean, I had goosebumps. I was like, going, how amazing is this, you know?
Yes.
And I said to Lisa, I said, you know, God's providence, if 2020, if that joke of an election hadn't happened, Trump wouldn't have been there. We wouldn't have had that yesterday. I don't know any other leader that would have been willing to step up and put himself out there like that to share the love of Jesus, and that we all need Jesus. And I was just amazed at, you know, he knew. He always knows. And
yes,
I don't know any other leader that would have stepped up and done that. So I just wanted to share that. I thought it was super cool that we had that as a country, and appreciate your show.
Amen. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Tell Lisa I said hello. I did John and Lisa's wedding. How many years ago, John?
26 this July.
Wow. You're just a young buck playing basketball and skinny and all that.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It's such a joy to be able to come talk to you every morning on American Family Radio. Tomorrow we have my friend Dr. Paige Patterson on the program. You're not going to want to miss that. Go out today. Hey, we're talking about being a light, salt and light. Go out today. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Speak the truth in love, and God will use you as His witness. And pray for America to return to Jesus. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.